Welcome back to Pocket 23. I am here with Oddkid and SDR talking about our colorful work history. Last episode, we talked about our first jobs. This episode is about our worst job. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
I like how you give the princess wave.
Yeah.
And SDR, and he's like,
that's me. The princess wave.
The princess wave, yeah.
No, the model.
You have to
break the elbow. It has to break the elbow. That's the
like this.
That's if you're on a float.
You're cupping an elephant's balls.
I can't do it with that arm. Man.
All right, so last time we started with SDR. So Z-Man, the floor is yours. What is your worst job? And you can't say beating snakes in the head because that one's already taken.
Yes.
You only had a week to think about this.
I don't know. I didn't know we were going right to. What was my worst job? I don't know.
You're going to have to tell us.
I liked all my jobs.
Well, there had to have been one you liked less than the others.
That's a good point. So like out of a 1 to 10, you have one that's a 9.5.
Okay. Yeah. So being a PA, a production assistant, also in California, they call it a pissant. Personal asshole. You are the gopher on set to get anything and everything with walkie batteries, coffee, making coffee. Oh boy, did I screw that up. Now,
who would you get this stuff for?
Different people on the movie set, director, producer, anything above you. You're pretty much dirt.
The homeless boss. Guy.
Okay. Anybody. Yeah, seriously. If they had a background guy who was homeless, I'd be the one running over and giving him a bologna sandwich.
Even giving a bloody nose. If there was a homeless guy that said it, I'd be the one to give him his bloody nose.
No, they give him his bologna sandwich. He'd pay attention if we needed him in the scene. So when they told me I had to make coffee, I didn't know how many grounds to put in it. I didn't know what to put in it.
So they were. I thought he was putting grounds in the bologna.
No.
I'd be the one to rub it on the ground, depending on how much I hated him.
No, the grounds in the coffee machine.
No one ever told you how to make coffee.
No, it was this big giant coffee like thing. Mm-hmm. You know, with
a scooper. Did you have a scooper?
No, we just. I just.
No, dumped, that's a litter box.
I just dumped it.
Oh damn!
I just dumped it.
No one ever taught me how to make coffee.
That was
either.
The extras restroom.
I just dumped it. I dumped it in there. But actually,
it's like, you filled the filter with coffee.
I didn't use the filter. That's the problem.
You didn't use the filter thing out.
And I just threw the whole thing, and then I put the filter on top, and then I put more coffee because I thought it would be stronger. And these people
are sure strong, was, yeah. right?
They're drinking.
They were shitting out the grains.
I remember seeing the director, producer take the first sip and going, what the fuck is that? And he goes, who made the coffee? And I was all excited because I thought that, you know, they would be excited about it. I'm like, I did. And he goes, you're fired. Get the fuck off the set. If you can't make coffee, you're gone.
I'm too much of a smartass.
But see, they still needed me to do like runs and stuff. So I really wasn't fired. I worked
because you've been drinking a lot of that coffee. You had all kinds of runs.
That's for sure.
Oh, and you're running to get toilet paper.
Had the runs.
Changing the litter box.
So would they just like give you a list of things they needed?
Oh yeah. One of the ones was to actually I think that was the second AD. Dave can, you know, fact. Fact check.
We don't fax anymore.
Can you fax that over to me when you're done?
I could fax check, but it might take a while since nobody has one anymore. We'll be waiting here all night for that fax to come back.
Shut up. Fact check that when you're the second AD, you do schedule, but you're also in charge of the actors, right? Make sure they get to set and stuff like that. But that also, we lost our power.
We didn't lose our power, just the screen shut off. Because I stopped looking at it.
So your question, SDR, you could be in charge of an actor. Like, say I'm in charge of the character Joey. Wherever he goes to take a shit, I have to stand outside the bathroom trailer.
And he's like, I need some toilet paper.
Well,
and you're like, okay, so
there's shit everywhere. There's shit. Oh, my God. Somebody get the PA.
The coffee. It's all about the coffee.
It won't stop.
That damn coffee.
I can't stop. I'm going to need some new underwear.
Call wardrobe. Underwear. Call wardrobe.
Does anybody know where my star is? Z-Man's like, I do.
Yeah, it's stuck to your ass. So
we're going to have to do the scene from the shirt up.
All right. So how old was I? I was in my 20s.
So you know you need these items for this dude. You need the toilet paper. You need the underwear. Do you wait to get a list
or
of things?
Or you just carry that on your belt?
From other people?
It's like a Batman belt with your underwear and a toilet paper.
So I have my walkie batteries. I've got my walkie-talkie. I have my headset on. I got my underwear slanged on this side for him. I've got an extra toilet paper roll over here, and I'm ready to go because I've given this coffee out and everybody has the shits.
So did you ever get caught in the porta potty with your mic still on?
Oh man, taking a dump. Taking a dump.
God,
blowing the place out.
It's so strong, coffee.
and then your boss goes, switch to two.
That's what I'm doing. Number two. Who do you work for? My little Austin Powers bit there.
Oh my God, I lost my
Oh man.
Oh man, I'm falling apart here. All right.
So what I wanted to know
on,
was.
Hold on, let me finish.
Oh, that wasn't enough information for you?
I didn't even get to ask my question.
Hold on. Oh my God. Okay, hold on.
Deep breath. Woosa.
Woosa.
Okay.
Woosa.
We can do it.
Okay, so. Yes, everybody had the shit. It's my coffee.
So
hold on. So
it gets deeper.
All right. So like Dave said, when you go into the star trailer or the, what did you call the bathroom there? The star bathroom or whatever. The Doniker.
I don't remember what it was called, but they used to have these trailers and they basically are just bathrooms on wheels.
Yes.
So they're not like porta potties. They're actually pretty nice.
All right. So I've been to something like that.
But these are
on
nice
music
one.
Festivals.
Yeah, these are nice. These aren't like
crappy
ones.
Yeah, if you go to the
ones.
VIP section of a music festival, that's what you get.
Right, exactly. That's what the actors get. And then as crew, we get that too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're told always to turn off our microphone or anything before we go in, though. And sometimes you forget and you're live and and you're like, and there you go. Like half the set is just hearing you take a crap. and then someone says, switch to two, switch to three, Brad, switch to three. And I switch to three. And then my boss is like, turn your freaking mic off. We just heard you take a crap. and then
girl,
I switch.
I wish it was a crap, man. That was all water.
That was all water.
Here, wait, I'll send a photo.
And then I go back.
I know a gas station that hangs it on the wall.
You're not.
It's a collector's item.
I go back to Justin.
Paper towels.
I go back to the crap. Hey, I go back to Justin, my boss on three, and I'm like, I don't think I really made the coffee that well. So you're really going to have to check this out because some people are going to
Will someone please come look at my shit?
There's going to have a problem with other people today with the coffee.
Sir, I might have to take some time off. There's blood.
There's blood in the stool.
No, we're good with that. So, yeah, that day was probably one of the worst jobs in Hollywood.
It sounds pretty bad.
Screwed up the coffee, and a lot of people had the shits or they had stomach aches.
All right, so if you got to get the toilet paper and whatnot for that one actor, do you wait till other people need stuff as well before you go out
it? You're just on Joey, that guy.
So that's it.
That's it. You're with him.
You don't care about Ellen.
No.
Somebody else is in charge of her.
If you're on the Ellen show, you definitely care about her if you're working
course.
For her.
But we're handling Joey.
All right, yes.
Exactly. Joey. If anybody else has the shits, they're on their own.
Right. So that would be another PA. That would be PA2 for Susie and PA3 for Jack.
So how many things might Joey need in the course of a day that would actually keep you busy?
Oh, he'll want me to go get cigarettes. He might want me to try and go find some ganja.
Well, actually, you know,
hookers.
So
were you in charge of that?
No, we don't. We don't go that far. I mean, okay. You're either on a music video, we're on a film, independent film. Usually, they don't have that big of a budget to go and find hookers or anything like that.
That's a shame.
Yeah, so, but if it's a bigger film, what happens is when an actor accepts a role, they send something called a rider. And the writer basically is a list of their demands of yes. what makes them feel comfortable. So
it's yes, like only green M&Ms.
Exactly.
And if you put a red one, they start screaming and yelling like a baby.
And most of the things they ask for,
they do.
They won't even eat. Like they'll ask for all this special stuff and they
all
won't even touch it.
All on the table in their trailer and mm-hmm. they don't even touch it. So when they're not looking, I'm eating it.
Good for you.
I just eat it. What are they going to do? Fire me?
Screw Joey.
I'm the lowest right. on the totem pole.
Well,
if they fire me, they don't have anybody to bring Joey's freaking toilet paper.
Yeah, and Joey, you know? Joey so, didn't feel like eating after the coffee
so you
anyway.
You spend all day just going back and forth to the store to keep Joey happy.
No. I'm on set, and whatever they tell you to do, you say, yes, sir, when, how, jump how high.
You really don't have time to leave set. And most sets are actually pretty far away from things because you need to control sound. So it's not like it's not as easy to get in a car
unless you're the gopher office PA, which means you basically are going to go out and get batteries and they're coming back and then they're sending you out for pizza and then they're sending you out for paper and then they're, you know.
But they wouldn't be on the set all the time. Yeah. They would just
you're driving up, you're handing it
well,
to
that person's never on the set.
No, well they're doing errands. They're an errand boy.
Just and when they're dropping off. So they'll be bringing scripts and they'll be typing.
So you're
changes.
One step higher than an errand boy.
Yes, because I'm okay. on the actual set right. doing that now. So.
All right. So that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, but I fucked up the coffee. And I don't drink it, so I didn't really have a way to learn at home.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't improved his coffee skills.
So who are you
at all.
Making coffee for? Just Joey?
No, the entire set.
All right,
50 to 100 people.
Okay,
and they all got the shits. Yeah, that's a big problem.
That is. I'd have fired you.
Yeah,
I really would have. I think, dude.
I think I did get fired.
This job is not for you.
Well, no, but did you know how to make coffee on set?
I didn't make coffee on set.
Oh, yeah, he's a big man. He's a big
wig.
Big cheese.
I had somebody making coffee for me.
Nice.
Yes. But see, you know, hey.
There are two types of people in this world.
Hold on a second,
those who
SDR.
Make coffee.
Yes.
And those who get coffee made for them.
Right.
Okay, but hold on a second.
When it comes to getting the shits, we're all equal.
Yes.
But listen to this. Other than just not making the coffee right, you know, other things, I was smart. Boom, boom, boom. I had the walkies. I had this. I had that. I had this. I had all, you know, like a Batman belt. I had all the different things.
Okay.
So I got moved up pretty quick. I'm a likable guy. I'm the Z-Man. I'm funny. I get shit done. I just fuck up coffee. So sure. Then, you know what? I got one of the other guys below me to make the coffee for me the next day.
Smart move.
Hey, delegate, right?
Yeah, that is how you...
There you go. And I also said, you know what? Joey's a pain in the ass. After you make the coffee, you hang out with him. Because you know what? Sally over there, she's cute. I'm going to work with Sally today.
Sally is cute.
Yes, there you go.
We all like Sally.
But you know.
Ride, Sally, ride.
But no, so, you know, you work your way up. And the next thing you know, you're in charge of the talent to make sure they get to the set and not to the set. And a quick story about that. This guy, we were in a warehouse where there was these abandoned rooms. They kind of used it for a set for, what's that place?
Porn.
No, not that at all. when they put all the bodies in, they burned them.
Crematory?
Yeah.
Murder? Mass murder?
No. It was that specific.
Crime spree? No. Is this what we're looking for?
It was a set where it was supposed to be like a primitive prison.
Okay.
So this guy went in there, an actor in the movie, a main one in this independent movie, and he went in there and shut the door and took a nap. Well, it was my job to watch out for this guy. He said he's mm-hmm. going to go take a smoke break.
Okay.
So I turn, I'm talking to one of the other PAs, you know, because we hang out.
Sure.
You know, we might want to get a drink later or something.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, John's gone. He's gone. Boom, he vanished.
You have no idea where he is.
I have no idea. He said he's taking a smoke, and we're looking, and we're looking, and we're looking, and we're looking, and I mean, just like for an hour looking for this dude. Finally, I open this door, and there he is sleeping.
With the dead bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he gets up. It's like the Walking Dead. He gets up and you open the door and he's like,
yeah. So that.
I shit myself to death.
I still didn't get fired though. Because who'd I blame it on? The kid who made the coffee.
The dead guy.
It's always the kid who made the coffee.
Yeah, I was the kid who made the coffee.
Him to blame.
I was the guy who made the coffee, but I gave it to the kid who made the coffee.
Smart move.
See, yeah. in my time, I was lucky because Starbucks already existed. So all I would have to do is pick up the order from Starbucks.
What are you saying? I'm old or something?
Maybe.
Yeah, we didn't have Starbucks yet. We had these big thermoses. But I did make a really good iced tea.
Thermos coffee.
I made a good fruit punch and a good iced tea. And then
did you make Tang?
No, that was like when we were kids. Tang.
Yeah.
That was just what? Orange powder.
Orange Tang.
Orange powder.
That came from on the moon.
That's correct.
Really? Yeah. It came from the moon?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You better fact check that.
Fact check that.
Wait, hold on.
Fax me a copy of that check, please.
Hold on. I feel something. Oh, it's a fax coming out of my ass. So let me finish. So...
That's what the guy said.
Very funny.
God, let me finish. Sorry.
Always got to put a little something in there.
Sorry, right? I'm being shitty.
Oh, man.
I didn't mean to be such a turd. All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a turd. All right, so to wrap this up, so I would have to wipe this up. Sorry, oh, my God. I keep telling him to do stand-up, but he just doesn't.
Well, it's because what we're talking about right now requires to sit down.
Ah.
If you stand up in the bathroom, it could be more than
patina. I feel the sudden urge to use a squatty potty right now.
Oh, yes. We're gonna get SDR his own squatty potty, and he can do a video and bring it in for us.
What the what? show that to your film buddies.
You don't want to see a video of me using the squatty potty?
No. We'll use our imaginations. You just show the toes. This is what happens when we do this at late night. So to finish this, wrap this up, okay? Worst job, PA, production assistant, personal idiot, whatever you want to call it. That's what we were. But it was a good way to learn the film business. You saw all the different positions that different people did, and then you work your way up, and you keep going, and you keep going, and keep going, and keep going.
So how long did you work there?
Until they fired him.
Yeah. So,
You weren't fired over the coffee. What were you fired over?
Probably being late.
Because he kept showing up. You know we fired you 2 weeks ago, but you keep showing up.
No. So, oh, man. You.
It's like, you know that kid, we're not going to pay him, but have him clean the bathrooms before he goes.
What do we call that? A work interview?
Yeah, on the job. A working interview.
A working interview on the job training. So we're going to have you clean the bathrooms.
Prove yourself. Last night I had a burrito. If you come back out alive, we'll hire you.
Exactly. Oh, man. But you had to.
It's a dirty business.
But you had to have a resume of being a PA for a while. So you had to do these freebies, and you had no freaking idea what you were getting into.
You didn't get paid for any of that?
No. For a first couple of them, you don't, because you had to have a resume. You had to have something to show them.
Back in the day, literally, like, you know, you're competing with hundreds of people that want to get in the film industry.
Yeah.
There's only so many jobs.
Exactly. So you went on Craigslist, and you grabbed the first thing you saw, and you showed up.
You'll work free for a lot in the beginning.
Wow.
And you showed up. And you just, you know, what do you need me to do?
So all those free jobs, what did that lead to?
Work job. I mean, paid jobs.
All right.
You meet people that you'll then work with down the road, maybe not in that year even.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll see them down the road and they'll be like, oh.
Basically,
I remember you. You're the guy that fucked up my coffee.
And they're like, that's why I carry a coffee now. Sponsored by Starbucks.
No, the way that it works in Hollywood is like basically when crews get comfortable with each other, they always work together. So that's why you'll always see the same directors and film and directors of photography and everybody and actors or whatever, because basically they know how they work. They know that they can, you know, that they work well together.
That's like Clint Eastwood. He's had the same cinematographer for what, 40 years, something crazy.
It was the same thing with with John John Wayne.
Yes.
Same director forever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They stick together and then they become like a family and they go from movie project to movie project. But when you're not in that mix at the beginning, you just have to throw yourself in there and prove yourself. Right, and everybody around you that is in the same position, it's going to be cutthroat and they're going to try and make you screw up or this or that and everything.
But basically, show up on time every time, no matter what you're getting paid, you're more likely going to get hired again. It's that one person that was 10 minutes late one time.
Bum.
Never
done,
get another call.
Done.
Because time is money. Like literally, like overtime is really expensive and you kill a budget.
Definitely. So I want to add a little bit to that. There was a PA that I knew and we're friends. So it's almost like a worse job too, because I was in the truck with him, but I decided to get out because I didn't really think he knew what he was doing. And he was driving a camera truck with thousands to hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment. And we're in Malibu, California, and you have to go down and around underneath this bridge to get back over to the parking lot. Well, I told him we're going to need to go down the road more and then turn in the parking lot down there. And he's like, no problem. No, we're going to go. We're going to fit right under the bridge. No problem.
I think I see where this is headed.
So he turned that camera truck into a convertible almost. It looked like a can opener had peeled back that camera truck. And then he proceeds to come to set with this camera truck with the whole top peeled off.
Oh, my God.
If we could have a camera just facing at the producers, directors, or everything, I mean, it would have been an insurance commercial. It would have been like, Geico, make sure you know the direction your PA is going today. And, yeah, so that's like to add on with the worst jobs because I was in the truck, and I'm like, no, should I stay? No. All right, I'm going to get out. And that's what he did. He peeled that truck back.
Wow.
He wasn't there the next day.
Somehow I believe that.
And thank God they had insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Geico. So yeah, that's it. You know, that's my worst, I guess, worst first job.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah, that's a shitty job, man.
So nobody trusts me to make coffee. Just go to Starbucks, or we could say Java down the road in Westerly. Junk in Java, that is.
Nice.
All right, Odd Kid, you're up. What was your worst job?
I really had a worst job, but I had only one job that I hated so much I never went back. Like I quit the first day.
That sounds like Sam or Gigi.
So I went to culinary school and I got a job at this really fancy restaurant called Bonefish. They're only open for dinner and they only bring in one fish. And once it's sold, that's it. They close the doors. So they're not open for lunch, but they're not open for breakfast. It's just one thing. And when you come in, you only have one option on the menu. So it's super easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But since they only have one thing, they make sure that it's the freshest there is. So they literally fly in the fish by helicopter because we were in Atlanta, Georgia. So there's no ocean there.
So where the hell is the bonefish coming from?
From Florida. So it's originally started in Florida where the owner used to fish for Bonefish. And he thought, you know, might as well open my own place. So you opened it in Florida, and then they opened a new one in, same owner, opened a new one in Atlanta. But you can't get fresh fish off the dock in Atlanta, so they used to fly it in with a helicopter in the morning. It's crazy. Land it in the parking lot or whatever.
For one fish?
For one fish. It's a big fish, though.
But
it must have cost them like $1,000 to
put
fly
it on
that
a helicopter. Was it just one they would bring, or would they bring multiple?
No,
for
they would
the day?
Just bring one fish. And so the fish was pretty big. And then what would happen is
how big? Like 6 feet?
They served other stuff, but it wasn't like that was the main course. The fish would come in, and the chef was the only one allowed to touch it.
Yep.
So it would come in, and the chef would take it, and he was like perfect. Like he could just like chop, 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 and it was the exact same size. Every single piece of the fish was exactly the same weight.
So he'd fillet it perfectly.
He would chop it up into steaks.
Small steaks, yeah.
But thick steaks, maybe like a good 4 inches each one.
Okay.
And then
sort of like a swordfish.
Yeah.
It wasn't a swordfish. I want to say.
But the steaks look like a swordfish steak.
Yeah. Kind of like that. Kind of like a tuna steak fish. Yeah, I don't know if you ever had tuna steak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, or mako. Mm-hmm.
So he would do that, and then it would be his job to prepare that. And then each one of us had a separate duty. And like, you know, somebody's making the salad, somebody making whatever. But we didn't have anything frozen. There wasn't even a freezer in the building. So everything, including the shrimp, were made by hand. So I was this, my first day was. And it was beer battered shrimp. So I was dipping it and putting flour on it and breadcrumbs and all that kind of stuff, right? But the table was really low, so I was bent over the whole time. Yeah, so 4 hours of pulling shrimp shit out of it, you know, and dipping it and all that kind of stuff.
Killed your back.
Just killed my back. And I was in so much pain, I could barely stand up. And, you know, but they never stopped, like all day long till dinner, like just go, 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 go. And
did you have that knife that you know, you peel back that, or that hook that comes in to get it, or are you just fingering it?
No, it had this.
He is fingering that shrimp.
No, it's like,
shit.
It's just like weird. It's like a V-shaped knife. And you take the V-shaped knife and you just scoop the shit out.
Yeah, yeah, I know that knife.
And it wasn't just the shrimp. After the shrimp, I had to do the squid. Always. I don't know if you ever prepared squid before, what you have to do.
Oh, that's a pain in the ass.
So yeah, you got to take the plastic thing out of it.
It's a pain in the ass.
Never prepared
bones
squid
or whatever.
Before.
It has, I guess, I don't know what it's called. Anyway, it has like a cartilage bone structure.
Yes, you have to
remove it. And that was a pain in the ass as well.
And then the ink goes fucking everywhere and it's a mess and it stinks. Oh, it smells so bad. Oh,
but I was in so much pain. And I was like, you know, I need a break or whatever. And, you know, the chef is an asshole, of course. And he's like, no, wait until you're done. When you're done, you take a break, you know?
Yeah.
And about 3/4 of the way through, I took a bathroom break and I never came back.
So you worked there for one day?
Talk about shit. He couldn't handle it.
So the next day I go in and I'm like, you know what? I'm not your guy. I'm not the guy you think I am.
I'm not the shrimp guy.
I can't take any more shrimp shit. I just can't do it. I'm having nightmares about it.
I was fingering that shrimp all day.
I've never been able to look at shrimp the same way ever since.
I don't eat fried shrimp no more.
But yeah, that was like...
Po' boy shrimp sandwich? Nope.
That was definitely a job I would never go back to. I mean, wow. I'm one of those people to where I'll do anything and I enjoy working, but like that, I could never see myself ever going back for any amount of money. Like there's no way you can get me to clean shrimp shit ever again.
What about gator? Like did the same place make made gator also?
No, but the RJ Gators, which was a restaurant that originated where I grew up in Jupiter,
mm-hmm.
They would get fresh gator and make it into a fritter. It's kind of cool. It has like a green meat and it tastes a little
like
bit like
chicken.
No, like shark. You ever had shark? It's very
Mako.
Chewy.
Mako.
Yeah, it's very chewy like shark, like very cartilage.
I've had gator before.
Okay. Yeah, gator bites.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were kind of like one of the original. And then they got bought by the company that owns TGI Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically turned them into RJ Gators, but it was TGI Fridays. Like, you know, they just happened to have gator tail. And then they created like a commercial version of the gator tail. So it was frozen in a bag. Unlike, you know, in the original store, it was that he caught it himself and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But it took the nostalgia out of it, you know. But one thing that was cool about that restaurant is that.
Did you ever work there?
I never worked there. I was too young. But that's the first place I ever saw karaoke. And like the discs were like this big, the video discs.
Yeah, laser discs.
God, yeah. The laser discs were huge.
They were huge. And
what'd you sing?
I didn't sing.
And
any.
They would actually show videos.
Yes,
like, it wasn't just the words.
Yeah, it was
like
videos.
Watching
like
people
cheesy,
dancing and showing the words.
Oh my god, cheesy 80s videos that were like
yeah. And because the owner of that place, he was like a big charity guy.
Yeah.
So every single Thanksgiving, he would give away free food to everybody. You know, not just homeless people, everybody. Anybody who walked up to the door, free turkey.
That's cool.
And then he was the first place that hired anybody. So he was kind of like the McDonald's of town, like, you know, 14-year-olds or whatever, their first mm-hmm. job would work there. And the other thing that was cool is like people would come from all over the country to eat there and they would donate their license plates to him. So like they'd bring their old license plates and he would hang them on the wall. And eventually all the walls were covered to the roof. License plates. It was pretty cool.
From all over the country?
Yeah, yeah. Cause like
why would I give somebody my license plate?
Well, it's kinda like the whole
well, how the fuck are you getting back to Oklahoma?
Right. I don't get it. No, like old license plates. Like for example, I have you guys
Yeah, I had dinner, but you know, like halfway down a couple of blocks, the cop pulls over, he's like, yep, you've been to the Gator place. You left your license plate there.
Well, it's like have you ever been
it was so good I had to leave my license plate behind.
Have you ever been to Cabo or Cozumel?
No.
Okay. Well, they have bars there where the girls have to leave their panties.
Well, so, and their bras. There's a place in the
meat. Could you text me the name of that place when we're done?
It's in the meat packing district.
Senior Frogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Froggies.
Every hour you have to do this dance, like the Senior Frog dance.
They would have a barber chair and they would pour tequila in your mouth with your head back, and then they'd spin the chair as fast as they could. And people would be like,
wow, I bet.
Boom, fall over on the floor.
And there's like a Senor Frogs in like every Caribbean city.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're very popular.
I've been to a lot of Senor Frogs. What's your, you know, what's your worst job ever?
Yeah, it was nothing as exciting as peeling shrimp or working on a movie set, but I was a telemarketer.
That's worse.
You can't even tell family about that one. It's like, what do you do for a living?
I telemarket.
I clean toilets.
I'm the back of the garbage truck. I'm a babysitter.
I'm a garbage man. Oh, we're proud of you. I'm a telemarketer. Get the fuck out.
That's it. Get the fuck out. If you ever call this freaking house.
What does your son do for a living?
He aggravates the shit out of people.
I was actually going to school, and it was a part-time job, and it kind of fit my schedule. And I think I did it for maybe 3 months. It could have been 3 weeks and felt like 3 months.
Did you ever talk to somebody that thought, you know, you thought it sounded kind of cute and saved your number for later?
Well, you ran into all sorts of people. Most people just, it was so depressing. Most people, you call them up during dinner time, and you're excited to tell them about your the windows that they could potentially be buying. And they hang up on you.
And you're like, Mom, seriously, again?
I'm just trying to make a living, Mom. Please, just accept the call for like at least three minutes.
Mom, buy at least two so I can tell them I did something this week.
Exactly.
Sorry. Okay.
So you had to get like in a four-hour shift. I think I worked like four-hour shifts. And you had to get like five leads a night. Five leads in 4 hours.
How many calls would you have to make to get those five leads?
Oh, God.
100?
At least.
At least 100?
It was just like you're given these call lists.
Right. Now, but I've done this too, and I'll explain after. But with that call list, was there a head boss that would come in the beginning of your shift and be like, all right, we need to make this quota, and if anybody blows a bit of this quota, I'm going to give you, you know, $100 cash. Or anything like that? Was there any of that stuff going on?
Yeah, every now and then, if they were having a slow night with leads, they would offer an incentive to come up with some leads.
Like they would let you out?
And there was always just this one dude that worked there that had this really silky smooth voice that would go off into a private room. And he would come out like
what type of call center was this?
Right, we're selling windows.
Windows.
Mom, why do you talk to my coworker so much? You don't even talk to me.
And he'd come back with like 20 leads in like 10 minutes. Got him. And his secret was he'd go off script, of course. Instead of asking the people if, you know, they would like to have a salesman come visit them and get some new windows, he'd always tell them that they had won something.
Oh,
right.
Right. No, see, I thought you meant Windows like Windows computers, but you're talking about like...
Like new pro Windows.
Oh, put Windows in. Like,
right.
Like in the house.
Right.
Take all the old ones out that were crank windows and put new ones in.
New pro Windows.
The ones that flip down, you can wash them, put them back up.
So how did you make that? You called him and you said, hello, sir. Do you have any Windows?
Yeah. Do you have any Windows?
Okay.
So I'd give these people a call and I'd be like, you guys own a house?
Yes, I do.
Or do you rent? Okay, you own a house. That's great.
Yes, I do.
Just out of curiosity, how old are your windows?
I don't know.
How would they know? Would they ask the window?
My house is in from the 18 something. It's kind of colonial, and we've got these old rollout windows.
So they've probably never been replaced.
No, we have a big draft.
All right. We're offering a free. I don't know what the hell we were offering. So our sales representatives are gonna come over and demonstrate to you the value of our new pro windows.
How are they gonna do that? They're gonna replace the windows and then charge them and send them a bill.
Exactly. That's what
they can't refund them.
No refund.
If they don't like them, there's no
Too
refund.
Too bad.
Really? Is there really no refund?
Probably not. I don't know.
Wow. Was it a legit company?
New Pro Windows. Yeah, it was one of the biggest window replacement companies in the United States. I would have to get like 5 appointments in a 4-hour period.
And what would you get paid for that?
Like $8 an hour. And I think you had got like maybe $6 an hour, $6 to $8. But back then, minimum wage was like you know, $5 an hour.
But did you get a bonus if you...
If you got enough leads, yeah. You got like an extra $1 an hour, I guess.
And what if they actually made a sale?
You would... I don't know. I never got to that point. None of my leads ever generated an actual sale.
So, but you got a lot of phone numbers. That's what's important.
So you would call the numbers. Most people would hang up on you. Every now and then, somebody would tell you off before they hung up on you. And every now and then, you called a lonely person that just wanted to talk to somebody.
Oh, no.
And they ended up selling you something.
Right, right, right. And what was that topic?
Well, people just wanted to, you know, tell you about their lives, tell you about their problems.
Really?
Yeah, especially like old ladies wanting to tell you their medical problems.
You could flip the switch and not be a shrink and get paid.
Exactly. So meanwhile, while all this is going on, there's people in other rooms listening to everybody's phone calls to make sure everything's on the up and up.
Right.
But as time goes on, you realize you're not making your leads. The people, a lot of the people that were there when you first were hired are no longer there because they've been fired. Like, yep. They just fire people and train people all the time. So at the end, like, we notice these training groups coming up. And we know that, okay, a lot of us are going to get fired the next round. So that's when we just start really, like, fucking up. Like,
On purpose.
So we start getting together before work and getting drunk. We're, like, guzzling beer, wine before work, maybe smoking a little weed. We'd show up wasted and just, like, start having fun with it, you know? And the other thing that people did was a lot of people weren't home, and they would have these elaborate messages on their answering machines. Like, a lot of them were set to music, some were patriotic, some were just, like, rambling on and on. So we would save these numbers, and every time we wanted some comic relief, we would call the numbers that had the crazy answering machines.
So, you're saying this is a worse job. This sounds like fun.
It was torture. It was absolute torture.
Torture until like the last week when you could just...
So like the last few weeks when we realized a bunch of us were getting fired and really didn't care if we got fired because it was such a depressing job. You know, call after call, people are just hanging up on you or telling you off. Nobody wanted you to call them at dinner time.
Yeah, what is the whole situation to call someone at dinner time?
Well, because they know you're there. Yeah, they know you're there.
I know, but what is the average of people that just say blank off or don't even, and just hang up? I mean,
that's the other thing. We're trained not to take no for an answer. So if someone says, oh, I'm not interested in your windows, then boom, you have the sheet that tells you what to say.
Right.
So you go on and on until they finally hang up on you. Or maybe they make an appointment, but they don't keep it. It's like, it's so depressing.
I used to do something similar to that with mortgages. And they would say, if the person that answers the phone says no, ask for their spouse. The wife would answer, or the husband would answer, and they would say no. And he's like, well, apparently you're not the one that makes decisions in the house. Can I talk to your wife? And he's like, you don't want to talk to my wife. I make the decisions. He goes, really? Do you think you have, you know, what it takes to make these decisions? Like, he was really rude to them.
Oh, wow. My God.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
But
did he make sales?
I mean, nobody lasted long. So even if you made sales, it was like one or two. He was like king of the room for a day and then, you know, fired the next day. Like, it was almost impossible. We would get a sheet with like 100 numbers on it and we would have to just call one at a time, one at a time.
It's miserable.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I did it in LA and it was a fake modeling acting agency. What the heck was it called? I can't remember. But it was a boiler room, literally. And they would come in with wads of cash and they would say, who wants this?
I want it.
Who wants this?
Me.
And
pick me.
You know, and different people would want it. And they would convince these kids to then ask their grandmother to pay for this subscription or their parent or, you know, and all these. And they're like giving, are you going to get my child on a, you know, a show?
And you'll get mommy's wallet?
You know, seriously. Yeah. And then they would promise them all these leads to jobs. And I mean, I did it for, I don't know, maybe a week. And I realized, you know what? All these leads they're giving them don't exist. Or they were, or they're from months and months before.
Actually, that's something that's still going on now. Except now they do it through text messages. They text you and saying, you know, we see that you're looking for a job. We're looking to hire blah, blah, blah. But it's actually a scam. So if, mm-hmm. if you contact them, then they get all your information for the yes. job. But they're really just stealing your information.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They make more money than that and actually bring you in for an interview. So do you have anything else to wrap that up with your worst job like that?
So finally, me and a crew of people there were having such a good time that they fired us all one night.
Did you grab all the staplers and the stickies?
I stole the freaking pen that I would use to write down about. The freaking leads.
There you go.
Yeah, I walked away with the new pro pen. I was really excited that night.
And what did you do with that pen?
I fucking stabbed my boss that fired me. No.
No, he shoved it up his ass.
Okay. So that's, well, the first,
I poked a few eyeballs out that night, let's just say.
He still has it.
I think that's everybody for jobs. This is the second part of our three-part series.
He's not so sure. This is where are we again?
Where are we? Yes, this is part two. Yes.
Hey, everybody, thank you very much for joining us. This was our worst jobs. This is part two of our three-part series about jobs. Don't forget to listen to our previous podcast about our first job, and our next one will be our best job.
I can't wait.
I'm very curious about this one.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I don't know.
I promise it'll be less shitty.
Less shitty. And I won't make coffee.
So coffee shitty and no phone calls.
Yeah, no phone calls. All right.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Peace
this
out,
is
everybody.
Pocket 23.
All right.
We're out.
This is the Z-Man saying goodnight.
Later.